I don't feel in it. And in the past, I would buy things just because it fit. And then I'm like, I didn't do that this time. I'm like, never going to wear it. I'm going to buy it and never wear it.
Right. Then you have a closet full of stuff you don't ever wear.
No. So people often buy things that they don't need just because they think it fits, but it doesn't. Hey, Warners. Welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the podcast that makes sales sexy again. I'm Rachel Pitts, formerly Rachel Tipton, but I got married. Woo-hoo! I'm mom, realtor, and creator of The Closing Curve.
And I'm Gina Tremarco, still married, founder and sales trainer at Pivot 10 Results and Carolina Improv. What's up, Mrs. Pitts?
I am married. We just had the most fabulous, I'm telling you guys, we'll have to put some of the photos up from the professional photographer because we got married in just like the most beautiful fairy tale setting. It's just amazing balls. Y'all will love it. And Gina was the honorary last minute matron of honor and she crushed it and I'm so appreciative.
Aw, thanks.
So she's in some of the pics.
I am. You didn't even know you needed an honorary
matron of honor. I didn't. And then you stepped it up, which is great.
It was so fun. Every time I had like for your reception, Ted would be like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm on bride duty. I mean, I just put myself on bride duty.
You did a great job.
I'm like, she needs to eat. She
I
needs
hope
to
somebody
drink.
Got pictures of you feeding me the grouper fingers.
Oh my God, that was awesome. Why did we not get pictures of
we
that?
We should have done.
No, wow. Anyway.
So, Gina, today we're chatting with Niaje Wallace, who I have known for many years. We met a long time ago in a totally random situation, but I've always just watched her from afar, and she's fabulous. She is a visionary. She adds art and creativity in her business approach, which is one of the many things that contributes to her truly unique style. Her goal is to help people identify their true desires and build confidence and sharpen their skills to go after the life they've always dreamed of. She is a master strategist and a sales funnel expert. She worked for ClickFunnels. Sales funnels and automation is a really popular topic these days and one that confuses people, I think, frankly, sometimes. Niaje trained as a coach that worked directly with ClickFunnels and has been dubbed the sales funnel queen. She also creates a lot of motivational videos and hosts Facebook Lives on mindset, self-development, and the law of attraction. And she has her own brand new podcast called Abundance Hack.
I loved her. That was such a fun interview to do. First of all, she's gorgeous.
She is. She's like drop dead gorgeous and has a very specific style. And I always go on and on about her branding, I call it, because she, every time you see her, she's wearing some kind of fabulous white outfit with this purple hair and she's this beautiful dark skin. She's just fantastic.
She's gorgeous and smart. And a couple of things that I took notes on, I just kind of want to point them out of what you can expect in this episode. We talk about sales funnels and whether or not you're into sales funnels, I want you to still stick into this because really sales funnels is also about nurturing and touch points and creating relationships. And that's really a lot about what we stress on this show is creating a relationship. So whether you're going to do it through a sales funnel from a technology standpoint, or you're going to work on it in other ways, I think this episode is going to be extremely beneficial for you to listen to. I love her phrase that she borrows from Grant Cardone in Hit the List. So we talk a little bit about email and hitting the list and really getting out there. And again, touch points. We're talking about mindset, abundance, self-awareness. And I think one of the biggest things that she pointed out was, and I don't know if this was something she got this from a different book. We'll talk about that in the podcast on the book, but owning a business versus owning a job.
Ouch.
Have you had those moments?
Many times.
I have had those moments. And even if you're in a job, you know, are you just owning the paycheck? So I want you to think about that. So this is a really awesome episode. Can't wait for you guys to listen to it. But a couple more things before we play that.
Warners, if you haven't given us a review yet, please go to our show on iTunes. 5 stars is our favorite. And something, just leave us something fun that we can read on upcoming episodes. And you can also access our iTunes page from our website, womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com.
So let's get started with this episode featuring Niaje Wallace. I think she needs a perfume.
Yes. Niaje. We kind of slaughtered her name in the very beginning of this episode, but we get it right. Niaje Wallace.
Niaje Wallace. You really want to, that's another point for you to take with you, is getting people's names right is going to create a better relationship. So let's get started with this episode.
Welcome to the show today, Niaje Wallace. Niaje, welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, Niaje, we are super excited to have you on the show. I think there's so many super things about you. For one, you really know how to like show up to a podcast, rocking it out with the coolest pink headphones ever.
Thank you. Thank you. I actually want some that are blinged out, but the pink are temporary. So
I want. Okay. So I need to know where you got the pink ones.
I actually ordered the pink ones off of Amazon because Amazon Prime, I can get them really fast. But there's a pair that are like Beats and the whole entire thing is rhinestone. And I have my heart set on those. So I should like reward myself with a certain podcast episode. Like once I hit this, I'm going to buy these headphones.
Absolutely.
Now I need to look at those.
All you Warners out there, you need to go check out, if you are not already following Niaje on social media, go find her website, niaje.com, which we'll have a link in our show notes for sure. One thing that I love about Niaje, she just always has this great look going on, including her headphones. Like she's
gorgeous.
When did you adopt the purple hair thing? Because the purple hair and the white clothing is just so stunning. But I think the first time I met you, I'm not 100% sure that you had purple.
Yeah, so it's really funny. I used to sing a long time ago. So like my early 20s and like a long time ago. But I used to sing in my early 20s and I had a pink chunk on my hair. Like the other half of it was black, like my natural hair color. And then I had like a chunk of pink. But when I opened my dance and aerial studio, I'm like, people are not going to take me serious with this pink strip in my hair. So I went back to my natural color, which is when we met. And while I was running that business, I felt like the artist in me was dying. Like I was stifling my artistic expression. So I said, okay, what I'm going to do is keep the top half my natural color and color the bottom half. And then I did that and it was pretty cool, but I'm just like, no, I want more. And so I did a little bit more. And then eventually I was like, you know what? I'm going all purple. And I never turned back. I received so many compliments. I feel like this is like me. Like when I colored it all purple, I was just like, yes, it feels good. But it took it was a gradual thing. It took some confidence to go all purple.
Well, and the branding of it is just genius. I don't think everybody can rock purple hair, let's be honest, but you, it's just beautiful. And then I noticed, because I started following you on social, that you adopted this white look, and it's the branding is just genius because it looks so great on you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And how is it that you guys met? I know that you touched a little bit on Ariel and that was something Rachel. So let's hear a little more about some of your background of where you started, and then we'll get into what you're doing, because that was really of interest to me, because I think from a sales perspective, knowing how to use ClickFunnels, which makes my head spin, I think this is a really great topic from a sales perspective. But let's kind of back up a little bit on what you have been doing and how the two of you met, how you and Rachel met.
Well, the first time I met Niaje was in Charlotte at a training to be an aerial arts instructor. And it was a group of a whole bunch of women. I'm pretty sure it was mostly women. And we were there for a full week. Was it a week? It was several days.
Yeah.
And Niaje just had, she just had this presence about her, and she had this dog. This dog. So
you had me a dog.
What kind of dog? It was a Yorkie. Now we were at lunchtime on the first day, and we had no idea that the Yorkie was in the house. Like most of the time, I associate Yorkies with like a lot of barking and very hyperactive dogs. And so we're all sitting down to eat lunch, and Nyjay busts out this dog out of the little carrier, and we're all like, there's a dog here. And then I think his name was Handsome. Mm-hmm. And
oh my gosh,
he
what an awesome
was
name.
Like the mascot of the entire rest of the week. And you know, I just remember that you are very quiet, but you had a certain presence about you.
Yeah, that was a great time. It was an aerial training. And yeah, Handsome is still here. So I have another Yorkie now because Handsome's old. He's actually 17 years old now. So
wow,
I've had him for a really long time. But no, my Yorkies are not yappy at all. They're like perfectly behaved, like little like prissy dogs. But okay, so I was at that aerial training. I owned a studio at the time. So I owned a dance and aerial studio. And for anyone who doesn't know what aerials is, it's like Cirque du Soleil when you like climb and do the tricks in the air. Because sometimes people are like, what is that? But I owned an aerial studio for 5 years. And the first year or two, it was amazing. I'm getting paid to do what I love. And it just was like the best thing ever. And then I was the only studio in the city that offered aerials. So if anyone wanted to try aerials, they had to come to me. So the business grew really fast and probably faster than I was anticipating. So year three, I became really burnt out. And I was the studio was open 6 days a week. And on the seventh day, I still was like cleaning, doing paperwork, adjusting the schedule. And so I'm working 7 days a week, and I reached a point where I didn't want to get up in the morning. And I'm a really happy, bubbly person, like always. I wake up and I'm like, good morning. And so for me to wake up and not want to get out the bed, I said, I have to make a change in my life. Like something is not right. I didn't become an entrepreneur or start a business to work myself to death. Like I wasn't taking care of myself. I didn't have a good self-care regimen. And I just was like, I have to make a change. So I got really obsessed with systems. And I read a book that changed my mindset when it comes to business. It was a Robert Kiyosaki book called Choose to Be Rich. And he goes into depth about the cash flow quadrant. So he mentions it in Rich Dad, Poor Dad, but he really goes into depth and in depth and talks about the difference between owning a business and owning a job. And that was a huge light bulb for me. He says, if you cannot walk away from your business for 3 months and it operate without you, you don't own a business, you own a job. And I was like, holy crap. I don't know if I can curse. I'm like, holy crap. I don't own a business. I own a job. And I'm like, I want to own a business. So I got really, really obsessed with systems. And I completely revamped my business and had a solid system. So year four, we're operating like a well-oiled machine. And, you know, I had to retrain my staff. I had to retrain my clients as well because they got so used to depending on me. And even if I had a receptionist or, you know, a manager, like they still wanted to see me. And I'm like, you have to deal with this person now. So revamped everything. And then what I realized is I really love to travel. And what I valued more than financial freedom was time and location freedom. So year five, I sold my business. I moved to Florida and I transitioned to being fully remote. And that's when I started coaching. I worked from my laptop, so I had the freedom pretty much to travel anywhere as long as I had Wi-Fi. And that's when ClickFunnels came into the picture. So I started coaching and I realized there's a million coaches. So I'm like, I need a specific skill that I can help people with. And I fell in love with the company ClickFunnels. It's phenomenal for business owners. So I worked for them for a year so I can train directly with them and learn from the source. Like I didn't want to learn from a course on ClickFunnels. I wanted to learn directly from ClickFunnels. So I worked for them for a year. It was phenomenal. It's a great company. And then I just started coaching from there. So really helping people create a business that's in alignment with the lifestyle they truly desire. Because so many people allow their businesses to run them rather than them running their business.
Amen to that. Now, just clarify, what are some of the things that people really should think about when it comes to sales funnels? Because that is something that people can screw up pretty easily, right?
So pretty much every business, I think there's a lot of misconceptions around sales funnels. So first thing I'll say, like, what a sales funnel is, because some people are confused about what it is. So the difference between a traditional website, you go to it, you poke around, you leave, and the person never knows you're there. A sales funnel has a specific call to action. So when you go to the landing page, it says click here, download here, enter your email here, subscribe here. It's a specific call to action. So you're taking the client on a journey, and there's no guesswork of, okay, well, what do I do now? You know, we live in a, I call it a microwave society. People want things fast and easy, so they don't want to have to poke around. They want to know exactly what to do when they get to your site. So there's a journey that you take them on. So they enter their email, they're sent maybe a video or a webinar or an ebook, whatever it is, and they're entered into an email chain that basically takes them on a journey until they are paying clients, basically.
So what are some of the ways that, I know, like I said, people can screw it up pretty easily, just not because they mean to, but just because they're missing pieces of information. So what are the ways that sometimes people fail at their sales funnels? What is like a key thing that people generally do wrong?
So, oh my goodness, so many things. One of the things is not understanding the strategy behind it. So making sure you reverse engineer your funnel. What is the end goal? What do you want the client to do? And working your way backwards. The second thing I would say is not knowing who your target audience is. That is the biggest thing that I see people screw up. And you'll ask someone, okay, who's your target audience? And someone may say women. Now, women is not a target audience because there's so many different types of women. You know, you have moms, you have single women, you have confident women, you have women who are trying to find themselves, you have divorced women, you have, you know, young millennial women. Like, there's so many different types of women. So the more you know your target audience, the better your sales funnel is going to convert. So if you have a target of moms, but you're talking about traveling and partying every weekend, that's not necessarily going to resonate with moms. So you want to make sure that your copy and your headline and your photos speak directly to your target audience. And I would say the third thing is thinking that there's a one-size-fits-all funnel. There's a lot of programs out there that lead people to believe like, oh, copy my one funnel and you'll make all this money. A lot of times it takes tweaking. It takes offering different things to see what really resonates with your audience. So there's not going to be one funnel and it's just going to scale. You have to create multiple funnels, multiple offers, split tests, like testing different pictures and testing different copy and testing different colors, and allow your audience to tell you what they like.
You know, and our Warners are pretty smart women, and we actually spent time today looking at the demographics and trying to figure out who our audience is versus target audience, right? Because sometimes you can have a target audience you think is your target, and then you realize other people are following you that are not your target. And so you have to kind of pivot to get to that, really understand who you're going after. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of our listeners are pretty smart when it comes to what a funnel is, but can we hit a little deeper on really, again, why it's so important? I know you've hit on it a little bit on taking them on a journey, but I think there's still a lot of people who are like, why should I do this? Why should I be going down this? Because I think it's overwhelming, and I think your experience with ClickFunnels is probably super helpful, but could you maybe give us an example of what a sales funnel would look like for someone?
Yeah,
what the process would look like.
So if you, do you have like a example of like a specific niche that I can use as an example?
Sure. So let's talk about our audience, the Warners, right? Our audience right now looks like is 30 women age 30 to 50. Does that sound right? Women age 30 to 50. That's what we've been able to identify. Mm-hmm. What else can we tell you?
Like a job or a specific business.
Women in business generally, let's call it women CEOs.
Okay. Women CEOs. Okay. So I guess I was looking for more of like a specific, like maybe she's a coach or something like that. Let's just say coach. So if you have a coach that is trying to fill her pipeline and she can only speak to 5 people a day, with a sales funnel, she can now speak to 500 or 1,000 or 5,000, because what she's doing is she's filtering them through the process. So now this eliminates her calling people. This eliminates her following up with people. This eliminates her having to send specific emails. She's filtering through the people who are interested, but maybe they're not ready right now, and maybe they'll be ready 3 weeks from now. So what you can do with the funnel is put your information in front of them, capture their email with some type of interest that, like, whatever you're offering, it allows them to say, ooh, I am interested in this. And then you keep sending them emails. So maybe 3 weeks later, they're ready to buy. But if you have to speak to this person every single day, like, it takes time. You know what I mean? It takes time out of your day. And if you're trying to run and scale a business, you want to free up time so you're not speaking to so many people a day. So it's automating a portion of that business. And one of the pushbacks that people have is, oh, well, it takes the personality out of, you know, business. But I'm like, no, it doesn't. My emails, like, it's totally Niaje in my emails, my videos. I do a lot of videos. So when I do my videos, they're getting me, they're getting my personality, they're getting my brand. So you can have your brand and your style in every step of the way, but it's taking out those day-to-day activities of like responding to emails and follow up, because you can set up a follow up funnel to where it's automating that process, to where if you can only send 20 emails a day, now you can send 2,000.
I think you hit it on the head. I think this is really important that you have to let your personality or your brand show through. And I think what a lot of people fall into is copying and buying into follow these steps. Now, this really triggered me because this is a hot button for me. Wouldn't it be great if those people on LinkedIn who keep hitting me up would follow some sort of personalized funnel? I was just telling Rachel this morning, I told someone, I'll be connected to you if you don't try to sell me something. You will need to nurture this relationship for the next year. Mm-hmm. And she said, oh yeah, I love nurturing relationships with because I said, I have plenty of coaches coming after me for stuff, so I don't need another coach. And she said, oh yeah. And then 2 days later, she's like, so I'd like to help you write your book. I'm like, all right, well, that trip sequence is done.
Well, it seems like it takes time to set it up properly. And, you know, you got to really think it through so that you, like you said, that your personality is there. But it saves time ultimately, because like you said, you can connect with more people with a clearer message that's well thought out and formulated.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I guess I can use like fitness as an analogy. A lot of people are looking for like that quick fix of like, oh, let me do this diet and lose weight right away. And then it comes right back. But if you take the time to set it up properly, like if you take time to lose weight gradually, it typically stays off versus just trying to copy and regurgitate information that doesn't have your style or personality that you didn't spend time creating. It's not going to give you the results as if you sat and like invested that time upfront to make sure that it's solid. And then you'll see later on as it just grows and you're, you know, on a beach sipping a drink with an umbrella, you know? So, I mean, that it, everything worth it takes time and investment, you know? And people, I hear people say all the time, oh, I don't have time. I don't have time. We all have the same 24 hours in a day. How many episodes did you watch on Netflix? How much time did you spend scrolling on social media? You know, so we all have the time if we want it bad enough. If you want to set your business up to where it's operating like a well-oiled machine and you're automating a portion of it, it totally, totally is possible if you set aside the time, do it right the first time so you don't have to keep coming back. A lot of these programs where you just copy their funnel, I don't want to talk bad about anybody's program, but they're not going to get you the results as if you took time to develop your own email sequence with your personality, with your brand.
And I for warners, I want you to keep this in mind that we have a lot of listeners that are salespeople and sales execs for other companies. So they might not be in charge of investing in a sales funnel, right? For getting leads. But what you can do is take this same idea, this same concept of nurturing, of do you have a system in place? Because I do know some of our listeners who are actually looking for jobs right now because they've lost their jobs and they're trying to get back out there. So you could take the same approach and create a system of emails, even if you didn't go through a very specific funnel. Not to take away from what you do, but I think there will be individuals that can't do it, but could actually structure touch points, right? Because this really comes back down to touch points. And a sales funnel is the digital version of that touch point. And I also want to not say that don't make any more phone calls, because you still need to make some phone calls. And I'd love your perspective or your opinion on at what point would you start making actually calling and talking to people on the phone and getting beyond the emails?
So I would definitely filter through, like if they went through maybe two steps, then they get on the phone. But if you don't have that filter and you're getting on a phone with 1,000 people and maybe only 10% of them actually turn into clients, but if you have a couple of steps and if they get past those couple of steps, then get on the phone with them. I mean, that to me, that's a great process, because you do want to, especially if you're selling some type of high ticket item, you do have to get on the phone eventually, but filtering through the people who are just not ready yet. Yeah. You know?
Those who aren't qualified or those who are really not your target.
Mm-hmm. But like you said, the touch points are really important. If you think about any email list for like a major retailer, like Victoria's Secret, for example, I receive Victoria's Secret emails every single day. So if there's any point where I'm like, well, I kind of need, they're like in my inbox. So you're like, okay, well, yeah, let me go, because now I see this email, it's right in front of my face. So you want to stay in front of your potential clients.
Yeah. And as long as they opted in, then that means they're interested. And it's true. I have some people that I'm in their sales funnel. I know that eventually I want to take advantage of their service, but I'm that person. I'm not ready, but I like to stay in their funnel so that I'm still a part of it. And I know what they're offering. And even though it's not the right time, I like to be in on it. Like, you like to be in on your things, and you make a great point that the big boys out there, like Victoria's Secret, big girls, that is, they're not afraid to be in your face and to be known. And just switching gears for a second here to what I know the other things you're doing as an influencer, that's one thing that you're doing really well. And first of all, let's rewind to the fact that we've been slaughtering your name the whole time. We've been saying Nia J, and it's Nia J. Right?
Yes.
So sorry about that.
Nia J.
Nia J.
Nia J.
And Nia J told me in a previous interview where I was just talking with her that she would like to be the next Oprah. And I think that is such a great, huge goal. I love it.
Watch out, Oprah.
And I think Oprah should be a little afraid, or she should just have you on her show, first of all. Let's just put that out in the audience.
That's the start.
That is the start.
We'll just put that out there. Yeah, I'm gonna make it on Oprah.
Well, and you're this is why I like to follow you so much as a woman in business, is you've got the branding down. You're always very consistent. So you go to, I know you went to the Grant Cardone's event recently down in Miami, and I was like, she's such a genius, because your branding is standing out. And you've got to stand out. Mm-hmm. You also are consistent with your videos on social media, so that it's another touch point. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I have time to stop and watch what you got going on. Sometimes I don't, but I always see you. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, that's just another, it's kind of like a separate part of people's sales funnel that you got to have in your world these days. Cause everybody, when you're sitting in line at wherever, or, you know, in between commercials, if you're a TV watcher or whatever, you're scrolling on social media, and you just have to be there as another touch point.
You know, a while ago when I was in the hospital for some stuff, someone had said to me, "We thought you died because you didn't post anything on Facebook for a day."
Well, and it's, you've got to be there. And you know, this is the thing, I just was listening. Yeah, right?
Right.
I was just listening again to Grant Cardone's 10X rule. And he talks about like when he first was getting traction and being on Facebook, and people were kind of giving him a hard time because he was there all the time. But the fact of the matter is, like the way that you're doing it, Niage, how to do that time, that you've got
like
to,
a perfume, I'm
you've
sorry.
Got to, ooh, you, there you go. You need a perfume line. You've got to be there all the time so that people are used to seeing you. Mm-hmm. And it's, you got to schedule that in and be consistent with that. So kudos to you on that. And tell us a little bit about what else you have going on. I know you just launched your own podcast.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
I'm so excited about this podcast. It has been absolutely amazing. It's called Abundance Hack. So it's on iTunes, but it's also a video podcast. So it's on YouTube and Facebook Watch as well. And basically, my purpose for this is to get people to ditch the excuses and take action. I believe life is meant to be abundant. I believe that we can have every single thing that we desire, but we have to work at it. It's not going to just be handed to us. And people make excuses and they come up with stories in their head as to why they can't have what they truly desire. So I'm interviewing people that have taken some type of leap and they go that extra mile for the life that they want, to inspire others to see like it is possible. I can have it all, because that is one of the biggest limiting beliefs that we have. You can't have it all. I've heard that my whole entire life and I'm like, watch me. So it's just, I'm interviewing really inspiring people that are just doing things that people don't think is possible. And then I have solo episodes. So it's Tuesdays and Thursdays. Tuesdays I do an interview and Thursdays, it is a solo episode that talks about mindset, self-development, self-awareness, just really removing blocks that are standing in our way from being the best version of ourselves.
I'm sorry, I got distracted by your Yorkie.
Did you see?
That's Diva. She loves to be like, she doesn't want to be like in the camera, but she wants to be like in the camera. Does that make sense? Like, she doesn't want me to, like, if I pick her up, she's going to be like, no. But she loves, every time I record, she goes and sits right there. So she's like, I want to be there, but not.
Oh my gosh.
So cute.
And I know it's a tease when we say we can see things on video and you're just listening on audio, and we're sorry, Warners. But you know, we do record on video so that we can see each other in the interview. So sometimes things come up that distract us. And that dog, what's that dog's name?
Diva.
Of course. Oh my gosh, so cute. And Rachel's cat does that. She just shows up for recordings.
Yeah, she knows when the camera is on. It's funny. Well, I want to go back to what you said about abundance. And I know a few specific people that live in this scarcity mentality. And I really try to keep the scarcity mentality as far away from me as possible, because you know, The Secret and all of that law of attraction stuff that I know you agree with, it's, you really can have what you want in life. And people forget that there, it's all about choices. And if your choice is to have abundance and joy and fulfillment and just all the good things, then that's what's coming your way. But I think I know a few specific people, like I said, that are always like, oh, I can't afford that. Oh, I can't go to that because it's too much. And so that's their pattern. And it's not my place to tell them that's your pattern, but I just notice it. And I wish they could see that we can have what we want, and it's going to sometimes take sacrifices and really taking a good hard look at what you're doing and making the changes necessary so that you can have what you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the way I like to break this down is, life is kind of like a video game, like Mario Brothers. And I haven't played video games in years, but I remember playing Mario Brothers as a kid. And there was challenges at every single level. You have to fight some big monster or like some super hard challenge. And I remember being so frustrated at some of the challenges, like, this is too hard. I can't beat this level. But that's kind of how life is. Every phase, we're faced with a challenge. And there are some people that say, you know what? I'm going to beat this challenge. And then there's some people that's like, you know what? It's too hard. I'm going to hang out at this level and just collect all the coins that I can here because I don't want to exude the energy and the effort to get to that next level and face that challenge. So that's kind of how I see it. So a person that feels like I can't afford this, they don't want it bad enough. They don't want it bad enough because there's always a way. There's always resources. I believe money is energy. And if we don't see the possibility of making the money to get the things that we want, we'll never get it because we're defeated here, like in our minds. So facing that challenge to get to the next level, some people don't want to do it. They just want to hang out at that level. And, you know, I like this level. I'll just collect coins here and hop on the little flowers here, you know, instead of facing whatever life has in front of us that's blocking us from that next level of our career, that next level of our business, that next level of our relationships. Like there are people living these massive abundant lives because they didn't see those challenges. And so it's really just figuring out what your blocks are. Anyone who says, I can't afford, that's a money block. And you have to be willing to face that and say, okay, how can I make more money? So I don't see obstacles. I'm like, how can I fix this? What can I learn? How can I get past this? Because there's so much money to be made out there. But do you want it bad enough?
Yeah, and I think that ties into, because we talk about sales a lot, when you're a salesperson trying to get out there and get the sale and you get the objection, one of the biggest objections, if not the biggest objection, is we can't afford it. So do you have any advice around the salesperson who deals with that pushback of we can't afford it? Because a lot of times they're just the person repeating what their boss told them to say. Mm-hmm. Would you have any advice for that salesperson?
Listen to Grant Cardone. Like you mentioned the 10X Growth Con. He is the best salesperson, period. Like his 10X book, I mean, what he says in, I believe, 10X is that you want to be prepared for the objections. You want to take a mental note, okay, this is what they say, and have some type of rebuttal. Like, and if you disarm them in the beginning by saying, like, I know this is expensive. I know this is probably out of your budget, but think about what is gaining you. So if you disarm them in the beginning, they can't come back and say, well, I can't afford it, because you've already said, look, I know it's probably out of your budget, but blah, 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 and like highlight the benefits. But Grant Cardone is a beast. If you are looking for like sales motivation, listen to his stuff. In 10X Growth Con, like he had 30,000 entrepreneurs in a stadium for one conference, 30,000. I mean, just think about that and think about the possibilities on Super Bowl weekend. So people were like, no, he can't do it. But you know what? It's funny, we talked about email lists. He says, hit the list. Like he sends out emails multiple times a day. And of course, some people unsubscribe, but he's like, hit the list, hit the list, hit the list. Like keep emailing them because I want to be in their face. But that is how he sold out a baseball stadium, 30,000 entrepreneurs on Super Bowl weekend. So you have to be willing to hit the list, as he says. So yeah.
You got to hit it.
Hit it.
If you want to get it.
It's so good.
Hit it if you're going to get it.
Totally. What do you think you can tell our listeners about if they start to suspect that they are living in a scarcity mentality? How can they get out of that? What are the things that they should do starting today, right now, that they can do to shift their mindset to more abundance?
Yeah. First thing is self-awareness. First thing is self-awareness. If you don't know you have a block, then you don't know. You don't know what you don't know. So being aware of your block. So if someone says, I can't afford it, I can't have this, there's no way I can do that, those are blocks. So I would say journal, write everything down that you feel. Like if you feel like I can't afford this, write it down and say, okay, why can't I afford this? Because people spend money on things that are important to them. So like you can afford it if you want it bad enough. Like maybe you have to give up something in order to afford it, but I can't afford it it's a money block. So writing down things that are limiting you. So if you feel like you can't do this, write it down. Why do I feel like I can't do this? Why do I feel like I don't have time for this. Like, so the first thing is self-awareness, being aware of your blocks. And once you are aware of it, that's half the battle. Then you can work on like, okay, I can afford this if I do X, Y, and Z. I can have make time for this if I shift this. And so it's all about shifting your life, your patterns, your daily habits to gain the life that you want. But some people don't take time and effort to even process that. They just say, I can't afford it, and then that's it, because they don't want it bad enough. They're not willing to put in the effort to achieve whatever it is. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And really quickly, going back to what Gina said about if you're, you know, at the mercy of you're the buyer and your boss is controlling the budget, you know, if there's something out there that you think that your company needs, you know, you can be the person that can say, hey, this is expensive for our company and it's going to help our company grow and improve. And I noticed that this section of our budget is allotted to something that really isn't effective. And like, there's always a way around it if there's something that that you need, that your company needs, and all of that.
Well, and beyond tapping into that, as the salesperson dealing with that, the person that they're selling to that has the boss, always keep in mind, this is one of our big tenets that we say is make the buyer look good. How do you set up the buyer for success? They are struggling through some obstacles to get it sold. Maybe they're not the one with an abundance mindset. Maybe they're not the one with a scarcity mindset. But how do you help them? What tools are you going to give them to set them up to be able to go sell it to the next person who's going to approve it?
Right. And create that value that will convince just about anyone to find money. If you create the, if you can show the value, then they'll find the money.
But you know, going back to what
people buy feelings. People buy feelings. Like, you can say, oh, this is the feature, this is what it does, da 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 da. But sell the feeling. Like, this is going to make you feel better. This is going to save you time. This is going to enhance your life. Like, people buy feelings. Like, there's dresses. You could look at a dress and it's like, okay, it's sequin and, you know, it's strappy. But like, are you going to feel sexy in that dress? Like, people buy feelings. So selling the feeling of what the product is going to invoke.
amen that to that, because it is emotional. Buying and selling are both emotional. It's funny, I went shopping recently along those same lines. I was trying on different clothes and I'm like, well, it fits, but I don't feel good in it. I'm like, I don't feel in it. And in the past, I would buy things just because it fit. And then I'm like, I didn't do that this time. I'm like, never going to wear it. I'm going to buy it and never wear it.
Right. Then you have a closet full of stuff you don't ever wear.
No. So people often buy things that they don't need just because they think it fits, but it doesn't.
Oh, yeah. I know that on the online space, people a lot of times will buy programs that they really want and they feel like it's going to do something, and then they never use it. So moving into that online space, Niaje, do you feel that women are well represented in online sales?
Oh man, that's a really good question. I would have to say no. Honestly, lately I've been really drawn more to guys, just because.
Interesting.
I don't know. It's really interesting. There's so many things, and I've worked with, like, I joined this Female Entrepreneurs Association group, and some of the sales and some of the things that were said, okay, I'm a little sassy and I like directness, and there were not a lot of women that were just direct and just like, this is who I am, this is what I'm doing, I'm owning it. Like, it just was like so timid and like, I don't know if I'm answering your question properly.
No.
But
That's awesome.
I would love to see more women just own who they are. And it doesn't mean like being like a masculine energy, but just owning who you are, having that confidence and just going for the sale, going for whatever it is, valuing what you're offering. That's huge. If you are confident in what you're offering, you're going to see the value that it's offering someone else. And it's almost like you're doing a disservice if you don't sell it to them. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. And that's where Rachel and I work. That's how we operate. We come from that same space. when we created this podcast, it was for that purpose. We had the discussion. We want to own it. We want to stand in it. We're both very sassy. We put stuff out on social media. Sometimes I'm a little sassier on Facebook. But we've decided to own it, and you'll either like it or you won't like it. Yes. I'm curious, were you always sassy, or did you find your sassy along the way?
Honestly, I feel like I came out sassy, but I lost it. I lost it along the way. So what happened when I started coaching, I joined this mastermind and I had a coach that was that were telling me, you're too glamorous. You're too this. You're not approachable. You're not relatable. And they tried to tone me down, like smile more. Cause like when I, when I take pictures, I do like my sexy face, like, you know, but they're like, no, smile more because you're not, and I'm a really friendly person, but when I take pictures, I like to pose, I vogue, you know, but they're like, smile more because you're not relatable and you have to be like sweeter.
So I have to ask you, who told you these things, men or women?
Both, actually.
Okay.
Both. It was a guy. Okay. So there was one guy that said it, but he had a mastermind of mostly women. So, and I feel like the women like in the mastermind were very like this girl, you know, like, so that was like his advice. But I think that it was coming from maybe
pushback from the women.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you stand out so much, and that's the thing, and you stand out very much, and the fact that you own who you are so well, it actually draws certain people to you. Like it draws me to you because I'm like, she's so fucking fierce. I wish
by the way, I need to swear.
Yeah, you can swear. I meant to circle back to that. Holy crap is not a swear word.
Yeah. fuck is, but yeah.
But it may actually you owning that so strongly might turn people off a little bit, certain people, but those are not your ideal client. Exactly. So the people like myself that I'm like, oh my God, she's so fucking fierce. I can't wait to see what's next. And like, oh, look, she's upside down on a thing over there. It's awesome. But one thing that I have noticed, and I did a lot of interviews last year with another company of some of the most successful people in the internet marketing space. Most of them were men. Some of them were women. And I asked them that same question. It was kind of a trick question for you of like, what do you think? Are there enough women represented well in online sales? Because there's really not statistically enough women succeeding at online sales. And for exactly the reason that you mentioned, Niaje, because they're being timid. And it's a boys club so far. The online space is kind of a boys club. Let's be honest. And so the women who are crushing it, they're not afraid to pull a little bit of that masculine confidence side in and own who they are and be like, you know, be unafraid to mingle in with the boys club and be like, guess what? I'm here to take over because I'm hot to trot. And I think the online space is such a powerful and amazing space for women, especially like stay-at-home moms that can't go out of the house and go and have a 9-to-5-er going on. They can find their place online, and they just have to learn to stand strongly in their space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. And you know, there's so much power in femininity. There's that's one thing I used to feel like I had to try to like embody this masculine energy. There is so much power. Everything a man does is to win a woman. So like there's so much power in femininity. So like own it. And yes, don't be timid. Like that, ooh, look, I'm getting worked up. But yeah, I left that group because it was so timid and so catty and like so much like insecurity and women like trying to tear each other down rather than build each other up. So I love what you two are doing. And I love that you are inspiring women to just own their gifts, their skills, their craft, whatever it is, because it's so needed. It's so needed.
Definitely. There's unfortunately, as Gina and I are finding, like The ones that are tearing each other down are more of the women. And the only reason they're doing it is because they are a little insecure or a lot. And they're just afraid to really own who they are. And I mean,
even the ones who are successful.
Yeah.
You know, we have pursued this is kind of an ongoing issue. I'm going to just keep saying it. I'll probably piss some people off and I don't care. We have, you know, pursued other women to be on the show because this show is primarily for women. And when women can't give us a straight answer about being on the show or they're going to get back to us in a few months, I'm like, what the fuck? What is wrong with you? Like, it's free publicity. And meanwhile, we'll ask a man to be on the show and he says yes, like in 5 seconds. And I can't understand.
Yeah.
That's okay.
And maybe they're lost. But
yeah, you said yes right away. So thank you.
Oh yeah. I was like, hell yeah, I'm there. But one thing that I realized is, you know, men get paid more because women don't ask for raises. Women don't demand what they feel they're worth. They're just like, okay, I'll just accept this. No, like, say this is what I want to get paid. Or if you've been working for a company, ask for a raise. Like, I actually like working for ClickFunnels because I've worked for myself for a really long time, but I was like, you know, should I not be getting a raise? And they're like, oh, no one ever asked for it, especially the women. And I'm like, well, you know, I do. Like, and he actually said that. And another thing with women in sales, they're very timid in asking for the sale. Grant Cardone, for example, I go back to him because he's the best, in my opinion, when it comes to sales. He's like, ask for the sale. A lot of times if you just ask for the sale, it like sometimes it's really simple, but we, again, back to mindset, we stand in our own way. And if you have all these thoughts in your head about like, oh, well, they may not want it and this, da, 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 like you're stopping yourself from even making the sale.
So, you know, I want to circle back to something you said because I meant to bring this up when you talked about handling that objection up front. I often now, when people ask me about our training, their sales training that we do, I often say, you probably can't afford us. And I usually get the business every time I say that. And I'm always shocked when they're like, well, we really want to know how much. I'm like, yeah, I don't think you can afford it. And
it challenges them because that'll make me be like, ooh, well now I need to work a little harder to get it. You know, well, but people who want it bad enough will come up with the money.
Exactly.
Totally. And I forget who it is, and this is not my cue. This is something I got from some audiobook and might be Grant, that, you know, when you go to a restaurant and you're like stuffed to, you've eaten appetizers and had drinks and had this great big steak, a good server is still going to ask you, do you want dessert? They're still, and that's, you know, can be circled back to sales funnels, that even when they buy the high ticket item or whatever they buy, still ask if they want dessert. Like, do you want this too? Because it's such a simple example, but it's so great where if you don't ask for the dessert, like, what if the people want dessert and you suddenly sell another $10 dessert? Like, what? It's like people forget that it's that simple. Even if they say no, still ask.
And it's also in the way you sell it. Like, we have the most amazing chocolate mousse, caramel, yada, yada, yada.
Oh, yeah. We were at a restaurant the other day for my rehearsal dinner, and all of us had eaten like crazy. And the server came out, and she sold it. She said, I know you guys probably don't have room for dessert.
The takeaway.
Yep. But I would love to be able to tell you about it. And we were all like, okay. She goes, our 14-layer caramel cake is made by a 90-year-old woman in Georgetown. She's been making it for 60 years. And we have exclusive rights to this cake, and it is 14 layers of this and that. And, you know, there were three of them on the table here in a minute. Like, it, and it was the best. She crushed that sale.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And even think about that. Like, you were full. You were full. So you're probably in your head like, I don't want to eat this. But when it sounded so amazing, you're like, I'm going to make room for this amazing cake. And it's the same thing with regular sales. Like, you may not need something, but if someone sells it the right way, you're like, oh yeah, I'm making room for it somehow.
And going back to the emotionality of it, somehow it's going to improve your life, your business, and now you're going to make room for it. And then you're going to find money for it. I know I find money for things all the time that I don't need, but I want.
Totally.
Well, it has been such a pleasure to have you on our podcast. Say her name again. Niaje.
Get used to that name.
Watch out, Oprah. It's been such a delight having you on our show today.
Thank you. I love your energy. This has been awesome.
Tell us how we can find you on the interwebs.
Yeah, so I'm on every single platform, but you can find everything from my website, niaje.com. That's N-I-A-J-A-E.com. So I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on YouTube, I'm on everything. So I'm all of the touches.
Yep. You will not be able to tear your eyes away from the angelic presence with purple hair.
You need to go see her just because she's gorgeous. And then you find out how amazingly smart she is and she can help you. So thanks to all of our Warners for listening to this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About. To connect with me directly, Gina Tremarco, or learn more about Pivot 10 Results and Carolina Improv, you can visit ginatremarco.com.
And to connect with me, Rachel Pitts, formerly known as Rachel Tipton.
So I just got not married. Used to your
I
new
know,
name.
It's crazy. Visit theclosingcurve.com or find me all over social media as Rachel on Real Estate. And find all of our social media links and free downloads on our website at womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com.
And hey, we know you love us. Now we need you to give us love in the form of a review. So if you could go do that, that would actually increase our visibility as a podcast. And as we often talk about, help women move the car, help us move the car, give us a rating and review. And a rating would be a 5. That would be the best rating. And a review would just say how amazing the show is for you. And that would be awesome. You could do that on iTunes, which I think really is the best place to do it, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if some people have struggled with leaving reviews, so we do have an instructional of how to do that. And you could get that from us. Join our email list at womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com and get that information. And hey, we got to go. Remember, for the best relationships, keep it real, raw, and relevant.
And a little irreverence doesn't hurt either.
Bye, Warners.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah, it doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.